Tom Gazzola joins us now. Tommy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Hey, Luke Wilson, break, then Tom Gazzola. What a dynamic duo. 1-2 punch to start the show with you two. I got to say, man, what a great way to start this show, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think people would agree. There is no better way to do it. both studs in their respective career paths, and I'm glad you're able to do it, Tom. We're really happy about that. I know you got on the golf course today, and I heard there was a little bit of an incident, so we'll get to that later on. But when it comes to the big, the meccas of sports, bucket list items for you that you want to go check out that you haven't done so already, what would top the list?
I think I've done it. Honestly, Connor, I've gone to Fenway. I've gone to New Yankee Stadium. The old one was already torn down. I went to Camden Yards. I've been to like 14 or 15 MLB ballparks. I love baseball stadiums and the backdrops, the just the setup around them, the vibe. I've been to Wrigley, same thing. They're so big. Like Fenway and Wrigley are so old that they basically took over the streets around them as well that became a part of the compound. And when I was at Wrigley, they were also pumping a ton of money and building up these new offices for the Cubs with like a mini like playground / diamond for kids to play in, and then the bars and restaurants, all of that. There's some really cool stadiums, especially in the U.S., some old ones, and then obviously we've got some good ones too, but my favorite had to have been AT&T Stadium in Arlington. That is an absolutely, it's like a spaceship. They call it Jerry World down there, obviously with Jerry Jones, but it's like a spaceship. I've also been to Heinz Field, which was great in Pittsburgh, and then State Farm Stadium. Again, another one of those that looks like a spaceship in the middle of Farmer's Field and pasture out in Glendale. And my favorite was definitely AT&T. That scoreboard there is just unbelievable. It's massive. It's a marvel, like you said, and just crazy, crazy. And then here's the other thing, too. Now that we're on the topic of stadiums, so Allegiant Stadium last week hosted WWE, the night of the Pacquiao fight at T-Mobile Arena. The network went down for all the cashless system. If you wanted to buy a beer at WWE, you wanted to buy merchandise, food, all of it was cashless, and that whole system went down. It went down at Petco Park in San Diego at the exact same time. It was all in the same network. And then on top of that, you got 55,000 people in there for WWE. All of it goes down. They're giving away food. They can't sell beer. They can't sell merchandise. The toilets back up in this $3 point something billion stadium, I think it came out to, something like that, in Vegas. And the network goes down. You can't buy anything. The toilets back up. And this thing has only hosted, I think, 6 or 7 events with fans in it. And just that's, we're at the whim of technology. The plumbing thing, no idea what happened, but 55,000 people in there, that would be absolute misery. So even though it looks like a beautiful new stadium, things can go sour in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, home of the Raiders, so that kind of sounds about right to me. I don't think they can get anything right. But Tom,
that's a dig.
Did we not talk about it on the Chronicles with you? It might have been somewhere else, but the Oakland Raiders actually did that toilet test where they flushed every the Vegas Raiders, they tested every single toilet at the same time to prevent this. And then like less than a year later, it happens.
Yeah, exactly. This every new building does the flush test, it's called. I remember when we did it at the new building here. And it's like a big deal to see if all the plumbing works and everything is smooth sailing. It's supposed to be like that one of those final check marks to say this building is good to go. Yeah, they did it in Vegas with Allegiant Stadium, and sure enough, couple events in and no go. That's a stinky situation, Connor Halley. That is a stinky situation, and it's unfortunate. And you know what's funny too is a lot of people from Oakland and just fans kind of took their shots at the Raiders, and they're like, "Well, you could take the Raiders out of Oakland, but you can't take the Oakland out of the Raiders." regardless of a new stadium or not. So just one of those things, man. When it rains, it pours, and they had that situation in Vegas, so I'm sure they'll get it all fixed up. But that's nasty, man.
Yeah, the Coliseum in Oakland would never do that. I mean, it might crumble apart.
Awful stadium, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason they moved
on. It's terrible.
It made a lot of sense, but the plumbing, top notch. Tom Gazzola joining us here in the Chronicles. Tom, let's talk a little bit of hockey. And at the international level yesterday, it was a much anticipated matchup, Canada and the United States Women's World Championship, without Canadian captain Marie-Philippe Poulin. And it didn't seem to matter. Canada with the early 5-0 lead, the States score a goal late. But man, Canada looking pretty good out there.
As they should. I mean, I know they want a little bit of vengeance for what happened in 2019. They got that against the Finns. That's great, who knocked them out into the bronze medal game. And obviously the U.S. and Canada, our ladies and the U.S. ladies have been just dominant for, what, the better part of 30 years now. And I think this rivalry will continue. Maybe that's a bit of a statement, Connor, to the U.S. saying, hey, you're on our turf. We're mad about what happened in 2019. We're going to take this thing. We're going to run right over you, regardless of what people think about how good the U.S. team is, which is obviously top-notch. And I'm liking what our Canadian women are doing. That situation with Marie-Philippe Poulin was very scary, where she took the slap shot one-timer to the neck area. Smart to rest her, and she obviously is an important part of the team as the captain. Good to see the rest of the group, talented group, obviously, very well experienced, some great up-and-comers. Fillier is great, Malte is great, and they picked up the slack. So that's good teammates, that's a good showing there, and you like to see that anytime Canada beats the U.S., especially in international hockey. It's fantastic. So they're cruising. Everything's looking good. Hopefully that continues into the medal round, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, we all kind of assume that these two teams will eventually meet up in the gold medal game. That's kind of how it's been in women's hockey for a very long time now. I guess it depends, you know, what side you're on. But when you look at these two teams probably meeting down in the final, how much of an impact does this game have on it? Like, are you on the side that, you know, Canada knows what they have to do, or maybe the Americans saying, like, that game didn't matter, it meant nothing?
I think it'll tick off the Americans. I think they'll keep it in the back of their mind as they, you know, make their way throughout the medal round, finish up the round robin, obviously. And it leaves a sour taste in their mouth, and they're going to be bitter about it. And I think they're going to use it to motivate themselves when these two probably inevitably meet again, and they'll try to get a little bit of redemption. And that's something that, you know, I think every Canadian hockey fan, when that game does finally happen, will keep in the back of their mind. I don't know if they should be concerned about it, but it's always there. It's like, hey, you get the opening salvo, we're going to come back twice as hard. And these teams battle hard, especially when it gets into the medal rounds and the finals, specifically if you're playing for that gold medal and that championship. I think by the time the U.S. and Canada does meet up again, because I think it's going to happen, I think you could take that game that we saw yesterday and just throw it out the window. Maybe strategy-wise, maybe a little bit of game tape, but I think the U.S. is going to come back twice as strong when they face Canada again. It's just the inevitability of it. And I think if the roles were reversed, Connor, Canadians would be saying and thinking the same thing.
100%. It's all about what side of it you're on, yeah. Right? Tom Gazzola joining us here in the Chronicles. The Edmonton Elks, good news today. No more positive tests as of right now. Of course, the team had 14 positive COVID tests after their trip to BC, and right now planning to get back on the field on Wednesday, September 1st. Good news, Tom, or do you think it's just a little bit too soon to get excited?
I want to say good news. I mean, it's been all bad news basically since they got back over the weekend after that win in Vancouver over BC. So let's hope that this is the start of something good. And whoever did contract COVID is not feeling it too bad. They're not too affected by it. And these are athletes in great shape. So you hope that helps them get better sooner. Although this thing hits people differently, regardless of what shape you're in or your age. So let's just hope for the best here. And I think that this is arrow up. So let's go with the positive on this one, Connor, on Positive Friday.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Tom Gazzola, final question for you today. And it's not really a question, but I heard that something might have happened. You're on the golf course today. Ryan Rashog, who will join us at 5 o'clock, a little bit rattled out there?
Very much so. Very much so. A great round with Ryan, Reed Wilkins, and Jack Michaels. It was an early round. Jack and Ryan are members at the same course. They invited Reed and I out. It was great. Ryan was just gloating about how much he loved the course. He was my caddy notes. He was Reed's caddy notes for the first three holes. Jack rolls in late, typical. And as soon as Jack rolls up, he just makes one comment to Ryan, because Ryan was playing very good to start out of the gates. He goes, why are you dressed like an old man?
Ooh.
And right into Rashog's head. Game crumbled from there. Ryan became very quiet. I didn't get the caddy notes because I'd never played at that course until today. And Jack was just loving it. He was playing the heel the entire round, and he was all over Rashog. And Ryan looked at me, and he goes, is my outfit really an old man's outfit? And I'm like, why are you listening to Jack? You know he's just trying to rattle you. And he's like, yeah, okay, you're right. But for the rest of the round, Jack was in Ryan's head. Reed played great. I had a sloppy front. Picked it up in the back, cleaned things up, and Rashog, the back was starting to bother him. Him and Jack were sniping at each other. There were some great chirps today, and Reed and I were just on the sidelines laughing, because all it took was that one comment saying, why are you dressed like an old man, or is that an old man outfit? And Ryan looks at me and goes, am I dressed like an old man? And I'm like, oh my God, Shogger, he's in your head. And all it took was one sentence. So if you want to know how it goes out on the course with a bunch of us from the media, that's a little glimpse into it. And hey, one other thing, Connor, big shout out to everyone at the Damon Bunting Charity Golf Tournament in support of the Robin Hood Association yesterday. I had a great time with Blake, John, and former Oil King Brendan Klatt. We had a great round out in Broadmoor. It was absolutely tremendous. A great way to kick off the weekend. So, hey, we're going to enjoy these last few weeks on the golf course. We've got some good weather. And before you know it, we're going to be talking Oilers hockey. You're going to be on with the pregame, and then Nanso's going to be on with the postgame. I'm ready to rock and roll, man.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, just before I let you go, because a lot of people are texting into 10-12-60. You don't have to tell us what Rashog was wearing. Maybe we'll save that for 5 o'clock, but was it an old man outfit?
No. No. He had his, you can ask him about it, but he had his TSN golf polo on, and the hat was fine. The pants were fine. He looked fine, but it's just the way Jack said it. He said it, and Ryan in the middle of the fairway, like, automatically looks at me with like puppy dog eyes. so hurt, you guys. And I had to be the older brother and give him the, don't listen to him, man. He's trying to get to you. And I look over at Jack, and he's howling, doubled over, because he knew it was over right then and there. So classic Michaels, classic Rashog, and then Wilkins and I just got to take in the show and swing the sticks a little bit. So yeah, ask Shogger how it went. He got me pretty good with his little game that where the push-ups come into play. You can ask him about that. I'm surprised he didn't post the video, because he wanted something to make him feel good, and he got me with some push-ups. But outside of that, ask him about his outfit. Ask him how the round went. Ask him how his back's holding up, because he had to take a few little pauses and sit down and take an old man breather, if you will. If you want to ask what was old man-ish about his round, when he had to sit down and rest his back a couple of times. How about that?
You know, Tom, I didn't have any questions prepped for Rashog, and now I've got all of them ready to go. How was your back? How was your outfit? How was the round? Just to say one time, I bought some new shoes, I'll say about a month ago, and my younger sister made a comment about how they were old man shoes. And it's an attack. Like, it kind of, it took me back. I'm like, no, these are cool. These are actually cool shoes. And thankfully, I've been complimented in the building. My younger cousin said they were cool, but just one person's opinion can really throw you off. So I sympathize with Rashog on that one. That's a tough one. Tom, thanks a lot for doing this. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you, Connor. Talk to you Monday.